Good evening. It's time now for our regularly scheduled board meeting. It is 6 p.m., December 14th, 2010. And we'll begin our board meeting. We'll ask Lynn Hobbs if he would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you please stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Lynn. Do we have any public comments, Stacy? None. We will move on then. We have a number of recognitions, and that's kind of a fun part of our board meeting. So the first one will be to recognize district Christmas card creator Kelsey Boyce. So Marshall, would you introduce her?
This is Kelsey Boyce. She is a fourth grader at Wilson Elementary School. We had a contest earlier this fall for our Christmas cards. We, as a district, sent out about 200 Christmas cards a year to all over the state, to different organizations, and we always pick a student's artwork to do that. And this is, if you want to hold it up for everybody, that is her artwork that she did. And so that went out, and we're going to present you with some extra cards so you can show everybody in your family, okay? Would you like to introduce your parents? Have them stand. Mr. Boyce, you want to go ahead and stand? Okay. And then
come right in here, Fred. We've got to shake your hand. Congratulations. Way to go. Thank you.
Way to go, you future artist.
Kelsey, that's impressive. Thank you very much for making our holiday season a little more enjoyable. Appreciate it. Next on the recognitions, we'd like to recognize Logan High School Academic Olympiad team. Our presenter will be Principal Dan Cox and teacher Jason Solf.
I'm going to let Jason do most of the bragging. I happened to be up there that day and watched, and it was kind of fun. They were a little disappointed in the Star Wars part, but when that ended and some of the people left, why don't you guys come up here so they can all look at your good-looking faces? They dominated the awards part of the program, and I'll let Jason kind of talk about what they did and how they finished. But it was it's exciting, and they do an outstanding job every year. But this year was kind of fun because it's the first year I've been able to be part of it and see how well our students do.
Academic Olympiad, for those that don't know, is a competition sponsored by Utah State University, where the northern Utah districts, about 22 high schools, each have a team of 9 students, and they compete in the morning for testing in 4 subject areas: English, social studies, science, and math. And then they do an afternoon kind of quiz show sort of thing. Now, the quiz show wasn't as good as past years, but for me, it's the morning test because that's the sign of their education, what they're getting in their classes, the upper end curriculum of Logan High. As a team, they took first place in social studies, first place in science, And they were the second place team overall out of 22 high schools. The very good Davis High was first, and we'll get them next year, hopefully. As far as individual awards, Christine Blubaugh, who's not here, she was the first place tester in social studies, and she was also the first place student overall, which is a wonderful achievement. We also had Peter Daniels, who is here. He was the second place overall. And what's interesting is I looked at the individual test scores. Peter and Christine tied on three of the four tests. And it was only in the social studies test that Christine outdid him. So, but to have the two top students there was a wonderful achievement. And the second place is, to me, it's a very satisfying achievement for the team. So here are some of the members. A couple couldn't make it. We have Allie Norda. We have Becca June, we have Spencer Burt, Cameron Mirza, Peter Daniels, and Emery Swinson. We are missing Patrick Eccles and Christine. Is that it? I think those are. And who else? Oh, because Kelton is warming up the bass for jazz tonight. So those are the three that we're missing, but they did very well.
The board would also acknowledge and recognize these young people. First of all, though, I'd like to recognize Jason Solf as the team coach for leading these young people. Congratulations. Christine Blubaugh, overall first place in social studies. Would you make sure she gets that? Peter Daniels, overall second place, and placing first place in science and social studies. Peter, thank you. Emery Swinson, come on up, Emery. We present this certificate for your talent and teamwork. First place in science, first place in social studies, second place overall. Congratulations. Next, Cameron Mirza. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Pretty close. The board would like to recognize you for placing second overall, first place science, first place social studies. We congratulate you. The next one, Jujian Rebecca Jung. Jung, is that correct? Pretty close, anyway. We recognize you for first place in science, first place social studies, second place overall. Congratulations. Patrick Eccles. Patrick's not here. Okay. Spencer Burt. Spencer, we recognize you as a board for placing second overall, first place in science, first place in social studies. Congratulations. Kelton Mock. Kelton's not here. Okay. Allie Norda. We recognize you, Allie, for placing second overall, first place in science, first place in social studies. Congratulations. Need your parents here, your family. Would you have them stand? Would you all stand, please, to be recognized? Okay. We'd like you then to shake hands with the board, if you just stand around here. Jason, we need to have you stay up here. I think we've got to recognize you as again here. This is a presentation on Logan High School close-up trip. Presenter Dan Cox and Jason. I guess you want to tell us about close-up for next year or about the trip.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about the trip because it's the first time I was able to go back with this group and go to close-up.
We already have a few questions, so if you can stand over there, then we can
It was the first opportunity in my life to go to Washington, D.C., and I won't talk a whole lot about the trip because you'll want to ask them. But our students were outstanding. There were several occasions where people from back there came up to us and complimented on us on how respectful and how good our kids were. And I'll let Jason talk about the 80-year-old lady at the National Cathedral that these kids fell in love with, that told us about all the special little things to see at the at the cathedral, like a moon rock that's up in the glass, and a certain time of the year, right after Christmas, where the light shines or the sun shines through the west side of the cathedral onto the Christ figure, and all that kind of stuff that went back there. But more importantly, these students it was a privilege for me just to hang out with them for a week. I learned a lot about just being a good person and people because they have to live with two students from another state and have to put up with them and so on. But our students were just outstanding.
First of all, I just want to say express my appreciation to the board for supporting Close Up for so many years and for allowing students to go back to D.C. and participate in this educational program. And it is an educational program. There's curriculum. They go to seminars. They debate. They learn. And it's always fun for me because there's a wonderful teacher program that we go on. And I go to places like James Monroe's house and the Lincoln Cottage and things that I may not have seen before and learn a lot. But when I touch base with the students during the week, they're always coming up with some questions. I'm like, so what's the largest thing in the budget, Mr. Sof? And they're always, trying to clarify. And they're learning the whole week as well as seeing the sites. I think one of the highlights for me this year was our cathedral tour, the National Cathedral. And this former teacher who's been at the cathedral schools since the 1950s gave the students a tour, told them things about how at the cathedral school they hold their senior prom up in the cathedral tower, overlooking the city, and they kind of thought that was cool. Graduation is held in the cathedral. And what's interesting is the students listened to every word she said. They followed her around. And when she was kind of done, the students didn't kind of dissipate. They kept staying there and asking her questions. And I had gone and was looking at a couple things myself. She came up and found me before I left and just thanked me for bring such good kids, because she deals with a lot of school kids, and she knows when school kids are good and when they're not so good, as being a teacher herself. She really did admire these kids. For the most part, I think you want to hear what they learned from the trip. So,
why don't you take turns, each one of you, and then we'll ask some questions from the board.
All right, so one of my favorite parts...
Tell us your name first.
Oh, I'm Melanie Hicken. One of my favorite parts about Close Up was we got to go and spend a day at the Capitol, and we got to meet with our state representatives, and we got to talk about current events and ask questions that we had about government. And it was just really interesting to me to hear what those representatives had to say. It was nice that they gave their time to us also, and because of that, I've been more aware of what current events are, and I've been interested and wanted to learn more. So,
I'm Allie Norda, and I'm short. do you want me to just talk about it, or do you have a question?
Yeah.
Okay. I liked everything about Close Up. It was definitely not what I was expecting. But one thing that I really enjoyed was just that we actually learned so much. I think a lot of us kind of expected to go there and go on vacation and get excused from school. But I learned so much about politics and what gets done and what doesn't get done. You know what I mean? And it was just a really enlightening experience to go to the Capitol. And we also had a mock Congress. And like what Melanie said, to speak with our representatives, we met with both Rob Bishop and Orrin Hatch. And, yeah, I learned so much. I don't think I'll ever be able to, put it all out on a piece of paper in words. So, yeah, thank you for helping us get there. It was really worth it.
My name's Sam Emmett, and I would have to say that my favorite part was just meeting new people and the things that they kind of, like their picture that they had about people from Utah was pretty interesting. And also going to the Holocaust Museum was like really eye-opening, just because my favorite part was you walked through a hallway and they had thousands and thousands pairs of shoes, and so you could like smell the leather, and they were like representing like just a small number of people that had died. And we spent quite a bit of time there, and it was just, there were four floors, and just to go through all of them was absolutely amazing. And I also liked, we did the mock Congress and had like a debate, and my workshop's topic was the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and that got pretty heated. It was interesting to see people's opinions from all over the U.S. and Puerto Rico, and I just really enjoyed all of it. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Kimberly Fallis. I cannot say I actually have a favorite part from Close Up because it was all equally amazing, because I have traveled several countries in the world only in the past 4 years, and Washington, D.C. is kind of one of those places I just can't forget, because in a few years it'll be a lot more different. Just think about it now. Think back to like colonial times. You can go to George Washington's house and you can think, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Then you visit it about 400 years later and you can still see the actual things, how it was back then. For example, I thought it was hilarious that there's a camel up there and his name's Christmas. I didn't know there would be a camel up there, so that was kind of interesting. Capitol Hill Day was definitely a highlight for me. I thoroughly enjoyed like discovering the Capitol, because when you look on the outside, it looks like some kind of wedding cake, but in the inside, it's like all these different tunnels and everyone's working just to get things done, or like we said earlier, not done. And it's just equally amazing, because no matter where you go in Washington, D.C., it's always a different image. It's always a different part of history, part of our own history. So thank you to the board. I thoroughly appreciate it. And thank you to Mr. Soph, too.
I'm Scott Krzyzewski. Got a quick question for the board. Do any of you know what king cake is?
Sounds delicious.
All right. Well, I learned on Close Up that king cake is a cake, a traditional cake eaten in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. It's a cake covered with sprinkles with cream and filling on the inside. The maker of the baby, the maker of the cake puts a plastic baby in the cake, and the person that gets the baby supplies the cake for the next party. So, this is one of the things I learned on the many long bus rides culturally from Close Up. I, you know, learned all of this just like my peers, but one of the things I really enjoyed was learning the cultural ways and different ways kids from around our nation lived and how their culture was, and we could tell them about our culture. I learned so much, just not only from teachers and Mr. Soph and the instructors we had there, but mainly from the kids. And I just loved the social aspect, and it was awesome, so thank you so much for that. And yeah, thanks.
I'm Isaac Parkinson, and I really enjoyed telling everyone that I was from Utah and that I was a polygamist. No one really knew about it. They all thought Utahns were weird until we showed up, and they're like, oh, you guys are pretty cool. So, no, but I really enjoyed all the things they said. I really enjoyed the Holocaust Museum. It was really humbling. And I really enjoyed just meeting other people. Like, we had some Puerto Rican roommates. It was very interesting. But one of my favorite things was going to Williamsburg. It was just amazing to see the colonial town and how, you know, life has really changed over time in America. And another thing I really enjoyed was going up the Washington Monument, because
you did get to go up.
Yeah, we went all the way to the top. So it was really amazing just to look over D.C. after being there for a whole week. We got to, you know, just look over and see all the sites that we'd been to. And it was just a really cool experience, so thank you.
Board members, do you have any questions or comments for this group?
I guess my comment is just we appreciate how much that you go and you represent our school. I don't think we've ever had a group of individuals who've gone there that they haven't complimented us on on the type of young men and young women you are. And, you know, it's because of the way you go back and act that you're able to keep going back. And so thank you. It is a tremendous blessing to have you, young men and young women, represent our school district. So thank you.
Amen.
Do you feel like you're a different person now, and that you understand other people and locations better? I went to Close Up 1 year, and that's what amazed me is, you know, I had talked with a Puerto Rican, and I had visited those places that you see in National Treasure. And in fact, the year I went was the year National Treasure came out, and we realized how impossible it would to be get in all those places the way they get in, because you know what security was like. But, you know, I think it changes you as an individual forever, having been in those places and talking with the people. And I think it's that whole experience truly can't be explained. So thank you for making the effort to go. We know it's an expensive thing to do, and it has to be important to you to be willing to go. So thank you for making that sacrifice and representing this well.
Any other?
And it made Dan go.
Yeah. Well, we do appreciate you young people. Outstanding. The greatest students and young people as far as any high school in the state is concerned, in my opinion. So thank you very much for where they represented us. And you, I'm sure you'll keep on going. Jason, I don't see anybody here that will say no. So
do you want a motion on that? Do you need a motion on that now?
No, we're going to do that in the spring.
We are going to
okay,
do it in the spring.
Okay, come back in the spring, and I don't think there will be too much questions. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congratulate him one more time. All right. Next, we have some informational items on the agenda. Let's start with the report from the PTA. So, well, let's excuse Lisa Budge. She's with her daughters at a concert, and so we don't have a substitute, so we'll skip that one for the PTA and move to the Logan Classified Employees Association, Cheryl Brown. Is Cheryl here? Yeah, Cheryl's here.
Now that all those people got up and left.
So do we.
We don't really have a lot to report on from the Classified Association. We're in the process of putting together a committee to work on our sick leave bank that was approved during our negotiations. And we're also putting together a committee to look at our bylaws and to get those revamped and changed over. We're still in the process of trying to get enough members interested in serving on our board so that we can have all classifications within the Classified Association represented. But other than that, everything's going well, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you for your report, Cheryl. Next, we have the Logan Education Association, Rayanne Hansen. Please.
I'm glad they didn't say their favorite part of Close Up was the Aggie game. However, I'm sure that was exciting for them. They got to attend the game.
Oh, wow.
Fred, you did such a marvelous job presenting those certificates. I think we'll put you on the docket for the awards ceremony in the spring for our seniors. Tonight, I just want to start out by recognizing members of our negotiation team. Some of them are here. Joan Keepers, you know, our past president, Mike Mudrow, president-elect, Eric Newell, Gary Dunn, Dave Anderson, Diane Iverson, who's here, and Barbara Covert. And I want to express my thanks to them and their help and endurance. I also want to thank the teachers of the Logan City School District. This has been, perhaps with this assignment as LAA president, one thing I've come to at a greater extent is realize is the dedication and the work ethic, the service of the teachers in this district. I sat at a faculty meeting about a week and a half ago, and as I looked around the room, some of those people I've been working with for 20 plus years, and I mean, tears almost came to my eyes to know the difference they make in the lives of our students and the dedication. They really are the worker bees in this district, and I can't say enough about them and their support of LEA and our students in this district. LEA appreciated working with the federal mediator. It was very helpful to have that third-party perspective. We feel like the sessions were conducted in good faith by both parties, and both parties showed a willingness to work together. We look forward to working with the federal mediator again this spring to strengthen our negotiation efforts. Our members did vote to ratify the negotiations package. There was some concerns expressed about the integrity of the salary schedule and the financial conditions of the district. LEA hopes to be part of the discussions concerning the short-term and long-term solutions. And we understand that the conversations also need to happen at the state level with our governor, our legislators, as well as all of the education community. And we are willing to help with that in any way that we can. We want you to know we appreciate the board's attempt to provide relief to our teachers by offering the 4% one-time stipend and also the acceptance of the negotiation package that will be presented to you tonight. And we just want to know how much we appreciate all of you and the work that you do. Endurance, talk about endurance. And we wish you a Merry Christmas and look forward to a new year working together, solving problems together. So thank you.
Thank you, Rhianna. I think the board is in full support of what you said about our teachers. I don't think there are any better teachers. And you can go to any school district in the state, and we've got among the best, if not the best. And I think we need to make sure you understand that. Next, we'd like to go to the Logan City School District Administrator Association. Doug?
Hey, thanks for having me for a minute. Just a couple of things. Thanks for taking time to celebrate with the high school kids. There's some good memories there for me as I look back on being a Logan High student. One of the things I've appreciated about my career is being able to stay home. I've lived enough places to know that where grandmas are is a great place to be, but I also am so appreciative that I got to come home and be able to work in the district that I grew up in. Although it's changed quite a bit, it's still home to me, and just on a personal note, I appreciate that. And I'm glad to hear of the experiences the high school students are having. It's interesting for me to see where they all end up, and doesn't surprise me that they're off doing good things from when they were adolescents, like young adolescents. They've changed so much. Just a couple of things the principals wanted us to report. Just about what was going on in their schools. I know several of the schools have participated in trying to help with Sub for Santa and collections for needy families, and several of the principals emailed me and said, make sure the board knows that we had a really good time just reaching out to members of our community, even right within our own schools that really needed help. I know at the middle school, for example, we had 16 families we were able to fulfill their wish lists with the Sub for Santa program. And when you watch student council and kids in your school get involved in those kinds of acts of service, it's really rewarding for everyone. One of the other things just I want to report about Mount Logan Middle School, because I'm here and have a chance to do it, is on Thursday this week we're having a one-day university opportunity for our top students at our school. It's something that we have talked about for a little while, and having an intern helped us kind of pull it all together. And what we did is about the top 8% or so of the students, as far as academics go, are going to head up to Utah State on Thursday for an opportunity to meet with lots of the departments there and get a taste of the collegiate life. Their day will start in the new athletic facility in the north end zone of the university, where Scott Barnes, the athletic director, will meet with them for about a half hour, a little bit longer, to just tell them what campus life is all about and what it's like to be an Aggie or to be a college student in general. And they have some nice video things set for the students to see in their newly built theater there. Then the students will have some breakout sessions in many of the different colleges and departments. And they were able to express their interests. We were able to assign students to go to the breakout sessions that they're interested in. We weren't able to promise them all everything, but they're getting to go to things they're very interested in. And then we have also some other presentations from the physics department and others where all of the students will have an opportunity to see that. And we're just looking forward to that. It was kind of a hard selection process because we wanted to select students who had perfect scores on their end of level tests, and then we had a limit of about 115 students we could take and logistically pull it off. And there were over 400 students that fell into that category, so we had to start thinking differently about how we could invite them. And so we started looking at their raw scores on those things and narrowing it down that way. So we're taking the top of the top. It's the kids you'll see up here in a few years talking about close-up and academic Olympiad and things like that. We just feel like we have spent a lot of time and effort helping all the students at our school, and that's kind of the forgotten group at times. And we just wanted to take time to honor them and give them an opportunity to think a little bit. I know they're all thinking college, but we want to give them a real taste of what they're in for and get them thinking that way. So that'll be something to look forward to. And you're all welcome to stop in. I guess probably ought to get the agenda over here. I don't think it's been sent over, but we'll do that.
Question, Doug. Is there any way that you could do it twice a year or something like that so you could involve more students?
Well, this is our first go-around, and I've already received emails from parents whose kids missed it by a sliver. I mean, you know how that works.
And so just eighth graders? Who's going?
Sixth, seventh, and eighth?
Yeah, it's a combination of all. Yeah. And so we'll hopefully be able to create more opportunities like that in the future. You hate to leave students out that are really, truly interested and want to go, but we had to draw the line someplace. Not everybody can be the valedictorian, I guess. I don't know how to do that, but we're going to include everybody that we can. I want to appreciate you guys for giving us a voice. A few years ago, we didn't have one as an administrative association. We didn't have an association. And there are times when it feels uncomfortable to us, and because it's not been the history of it, what all of us have gone through. Most of our members have lived in the Logan School District for a lot of their career. And it was nice to have administrators and others come from other districts to help us know and understand how important it is for us to be collective in representing ourselves and the things that we need. As much as we'd like to say we're just part of all this education process, we do, the minute we take on this job, and I learned this through hard experience, we set ourselves apart a little bit from our teachers. And although we don't want to be looked at that way, we are. And there are certain things that are different for us. And it's been something we've talked about, and I've had conversations with members of our association and how grateful we are that you recognize us, even though there's only 15 of us. It's important for us to know that, yeah, take time just to hear our concerns and recognize us that way. We're continuing our negotiation process, obviously, on the heels of what's gone on with the Teachers Association. We'll revisit some things with the superintendent and our negotiating team, and we'll be back to you on more of those things. How that turned out changed kind of the direction we need to go with things, and we just didn't know. We had some ideas in mind, and seems like that the process has been fair and good for teachers, and I'm glad for that. And we'll have to revisit what administrators were hoping would happen with EduJobs money, and we'll talk about that and get back with you. The one other thing is, it's interesting that Cheryl mentioned the bylaws. That's something we're going to revisit as an administrative association. Our bylaws are about 2 pages long and were written like the first year that we organized, and they're woefully inadequate for what we're doing. They don't match our negotiated agreements and our policies, and so that's something that a couple of us have put our eyes on this year, and we're going to try to get that ironed out by next summer, because we don't want to go into another year without that completed. So thanks for everything. Hope you have a great holiday season, and appreciate everything you do for us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. What I said about our teachers also applies to our administrators. Great bunch. And the classified. Let's include everybody. Classified employees. Cheryl, apologize. I didn't mean to do that. But yeah, all of you. We really appreciate all you do. Thank you. Let's move next to the consent calendar. And we have an action item here on the minutes. Dated November 9th, November 16th, November 23rd. Monthly expenditures and receipts, personnel, school improvement plans, and last time. Any discussion?
Are we making a motion, or are we making a discussion?
Request. No. Request.
Oh, I would like to request that we remove the last item on that concerning the policy for further discussion. Other than that, I would move to approve the consent calendar with that last item removed.
And that last item we will discuss at the January 10th meeting in closed session.
Good.
Okay. Motion made by Christy Cooley. Do you have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Lynn Hobbs. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. The consent calendar items, except for the last item, are approved. Now we need to move to action items on the agenda. Action on amount Logan Middle School fees, Logan High School fees for 2011-2012, and we also want to include Bridgerland Applied Technology College fees. Let's see, we need to...
I'll go ahead and start. I'll start at that, and then we'll have Doug, and looks like Dan has left. On the fees specifically, you have received the materials that... from both schools. Every year at this time, we bring these to you. The addition of the BATC college fees have not come to you before, and yet there are multiple fees that are on their list that our students, because they're taking advantage of BATC, do have to pay. So we felt that that was also appropriate for you to have those as well. There are no changes in the Logan High School fees for this next year. There are some for the Mount Logan Middle School. We also put in here an explanation that Zane had asked both schools as to what the items were, the specific fee was used for, and what the balance was. So this is an opportunity for you to ask some questions of the schools. Doug, are you prepared to discuss the reason for the increase of fees in those few areas, and then answer any questions on the utilization of your fees?
Yeah, I met with Principal Monson today because he couldn't be here, and he asked me to just talk to you about that. The only place we've recommended a fee increase, and we haven't done that for a while, is in our art program. We're just finding it that we're not capable of offering the same thing we've offered for years and years and years with the same fee. So we asked for a $3 increase in the art classes, and then we were able to find a vendor who could provide us the PE uniform less expensively, for cheaper. And so we dropped that fee $5 to reflect the fact that we can purchase the items for less. And we're constantly looking for ways to not keep raising that. You know, we don't want to get into a mentality of cost sharing it somehow. You know that more than half of our school would be on a fee waiver, and that's the reality that we deal with. And so we just want to make sure we're being fair with that. So we're trying over the years. I know we've tried very hard not to raise fees, but at this time in the art program, we just don't feel like we can continue to offer an adequate program without just a few more dollars there to pay for supplies and materials that they need.
My question, you've added, and I noticed Logan High already has this, a percussion rental of $40. Why is a percussion instrument different than a instrument? Well, you know, we have instrument rental, guitar rental, and then we have percussion.
Right.
And so I'm just wondering why percussion is considered different. Is that because you sometimes have multiple percussion instruments at home?
Well, it's actually less than the instrument rental fee.
Right, I know, but I'm
right. I think
I
it has to do with the
different fact
of what we have as far as replacing them, and they don't wear out as quickly. And I don't know. I'll have to find you a better answer from the folks who have supported that in the past.
Because in my mind, percussion would be an instrument.
Zane, you may have something to add.
When I talked to the finance secretary about that, the reason that is 40 and not 60, it used to be part of the instrument rental, but it was for what Doug mentioned. They aren't as costly to repair and keep up, and so they decided they didn't need to charge as much for percussion.
Yeah, that's, I think, great. In the past we had charged $60 and felt like we didn't need to, so. Reminds me of Mount Logan Middle School.
That's because one board member is going to sleep, right?
Yeah.
Back when we wake up.
It's not quite
worry.
As bad as that one room in your building, though.
Do you have any other questions?
Any other questions?
And, well, you'll notice the yearbook thing. The last day of school, they did bump it another $5, and they have to pay cash for it because they've had experience with kids bouncing checks the last day just to get a yearbook.
Okay, any further comment?
I did appreciate the list that tells us the purpose of the fee, you know, what the costs are covered.
Yeah,
that
was
helpful. That's really good to have. And then actually, question I had for Zane on that is, you have the FY10 and then the June 30th, so that the June 30th is the carryover for the next year?
Actually, that was a typo, and we didn't catch it until after it was sent out to you. But the FY10 was how much was collected last year, and that's supposed to say June 30th, 2010 account balance. So at the end of the fiscal year, what was left in those balances.
That is what might say.
And that was a typo.
So yeah. Why should it say?
It says account balance 30 June.
Think,
that was the end
it's
of the
okay.
year. Yeah.
All right. Then
it was the end of the close of the year. That was their balance.
Okay. Then the question is, do we have too much in some of those then?
Yeah, because there's
and some we don't have enough. And maybe that's something next year, as you sit down to look at these, it needs to be looked at that some have a big balance and some have no balance.
Well, I talked to superintendent and the directors in our meeting today about these fees generally. This is the first time that I've ever taken a look at it that like this, and I think it does merit some discussion. I'm not proposed to make any kind of a change to what's being proposed at this point in time, but for next year I've suggested that we have some serious discussion about all of these fees going forward.
Okay.
Sure, yeah, just as from a school principal standpoint, I know we've discussed this, that we understand what piece of that public trust we have, and we're not trying to make money. And so we see those things just like you do. If there's a real high overage and it's not, see, some of those things, when I think of PE uniforms, we had an excessive amount of the old uniform when we made the switch over. We keep selling them, and so it builds money into that coffer, and if it makes it so that we can reduce the fee, we would.
Well, you already have.
Yeah, and I don't know, I think you're right, and we don't mind taking a look at that, because the last thing we want to do is charge more than is needed. As a parent of four kids, I don't want to have that happen either, and so we're really sensitive to that. I think we try to be, and we try to work really hard with families as they have struggles trying to meet those obligations at the school as well.
Well, and okay. in the same breath, if I'm a parent paying my student fees, I expect that money to be spent on my child. If it's being carried over to the next year,
right.
That's not the intent. I don't have a problem paying it if they're actually going to use the money.
Well,
so
a point
maybe
of
the
clarification,
teachers aren't using it all.
Right. A point of clarification for this, those balances may have been there 15 years ago.
Oh.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So I don't know
how long it's been.
Right.
Been
and now we can start.
I mean, this could
it.
Be, we could liken this to the vending fund at Logan High at one point in history. Mm-hmm. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it should have been spent on the students all along the way. And so it got spent there very quickly at one point, but that we're not opposed to taking a look at it, and I think we should before next year. We would be fine with that. It'd be the right thing to do.
Cheryl had a comment.
Cheryl, would you like to make a comment on that?
Can I?
Yes, you can. Secretary at Logan High anyway, so you'd be familiar with all of this.
We're doing some of the finances. One reason that some of these accounts have a pretty generous balance carrying over from year to year is because they were approved for science and math, for microscopes, for lab items that need to be purchased, and for the big calculators. And the departments are saving those up so that they can order large quantities to get the best price. And so they do save them up for 2 or 3 years, then they buy them, and then they save them up again 2 or 3 years. So that is one clarification, so that when you do look at those budgets, you don't go, wow, they've got a large amount, but that is why some of them carry such a large balance.
Thanks for saving me. One example of that would be the guitar rental that you see on there. That's an example of that, because that's the instrument we seem to replace and repair more often than any other.
And it's cheaper to buy 20 of them than one. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the motion then on the table, if there are no further comment, is that we would approve the fee schedules from Mount Logan Middle School and Logan High School for the 2011-12 school year. So I'd like to make that motion.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Motion made by Jim Blair. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Christy Cooley. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. It's unanimous. So we will approve the fee schedule for Logan High, and that includes the Bridgeland. I don't see where the Bridgeland is displayed there. But
it is, you'll see it goes all the way through, and they highlighted the courses where there is a fee.
All right. So that's
And I guess then. If we don't approve them, they have to...
It's just, it's more of making sure that you're aware of all of the fees that are out there so that we can also make sure as they're going through registration, because sometimes that becomes a, well, it wasn't on the fee schedule. You're correct. It wasn't on ours, but it is on Bridgerland's, and we just want to, again, bring you up to speed and keep it so that our parents are aware of those programs and the costs.
Okay. So the next item we need to take action on the agenda is the our Logan High School new courses for 2011-2012.
If you look on page 55 and 56, you have some multiple courses that are being requested. We have some CTE courses, which is the business communication, business math, marketing, sports and entertainment marketing. And you've got a description on the credit that has been given, as well as prerequisites, which in this case is one. The important one I'd like you to look at is on the bottom of that page, as well as on page 56. It is the same course. We are in the first year of the transition to the Common Core, which is part of the new core adopted by the State Office of Education. We will have a sixth grade math, and in ninth grade we will have what's now called Secondary Math 1. That is a course. The courses for the high school over the next 3 years will become Secondary Math 1, 2, and 3. We will no longer have Algebra, Algebra 2, and Geometry. Those course titles are gone. This is an international. It's based upon the International Mathematics Model. The first implementation will be next fall. The challenge on this is that they have not defined the entire process of what that course is supposed to be. We are hoping by March they will have more information out so that we can start doing some planning. The teachers are starting to do some planning now, but it's planning kind of in a void and in the dark. There will be some time this summer as well that we will be putting aside for both the sixth grade math as well as the secondary math one course so that they can develop their curriculum and get everything ready for next year. They will not be a test for these two. We have been told by the State Office of Education that they would be exempt from taking end of levels because there's no end of level that would actually fit. That has been done verbally but not in writing. So we're waiting for the writing, and we will hold them to their word. Enough people heard it that we can get them on it.
So, Marshall, they're taking the concepts.
It is
of geometry, algebra.
Everything is integrated. In the international model, there's no concept of geometry. Geometry is a portion of their studies, but it is all connected. It is a much different approach to mathematics than we were taught in and has been taught up to this point. You will notice that there is also a secondary math on page 56.
I love this.
A secondary math 1 honors, as well as a class called mathematics. The secondary mathematics lab. It is a non-math credit, but it will be there to assist students because we know there will be some voids. And that's what is concerning us. And then any transition from cores is that there's expectations in the new course that the students have never had an opportunity to learn. So this, for a lot of our kids in this transition, we wanted to make sure that we had some safety nets in the high school. We'll be developing those. Because of some USTAR funding, we're able to do some extra things this next year at the high school specifically to make this work.
So, Marshall, since this will be a permanent change, are there faculty in place to be able to handle that?
Yes, we do. The new licensure requirements are that they must have at least a level 3 license at the high school level to teach all courses. At this point, we only have one teacher who is not licensed at that level in the math department. So we are in much better shape than many schools around the state in terms of our licensure in the mathematics area. But it will be a major change. This is not an easy transition. We've talked to you about the transition to the Common Core and Language Arts and the limited implementation we're having there. But next year, for ninth grade as well as sixth grade mathematics is going to be a whole new ballgame for us. We will phase out algebra and pre-algebra and geometry at the middle school over the next 3 years as well. What you will see is Math 6, Math 7, and Math 8 with honors classes in Math 7 and 8. Sixth grade, what is expected out of a sixth grade student is the depth of that course is strong enough where that will be, will have enough information in there and enough material so that even kids who used to go into pre-algebra as sixth graders will be able to be successful in that, and it will be enriching enough. As they looked at it, especially this first year in the transition, there will be a drastic change in where sixth grade math was before, what you've already approved, that the content of that same title will be vastly different. And so the middle school has made a recommendation, and it follows what the state is doing for those that have middle school concepts to not go with an honors sixth grade math class, because it will give everyone the foundation that they need so that they can then go on to a seventh grade honors, eighth grade honors, and they can do honors all the way up through, so that as a senior they are into calculus.
Is it true also, Marshall, that there will be some workshops offered to help bring these teachers up to speed?
We will be spending a lot of time this summer. The state is offering a coursework the week of June 20th. There will be workshops we actually will be holding up here for the Northern Utah area, Rich, Box Elder, Cash, and ourselves, with all the math teachers, both in sixth grade and ninth grade, who will be involved in that. But we know we have to do more between now and then to help and assist, and we're starting that dialogue right now with the sixth grade teachers as well as the high school and the math. Yes, either one.
Totally different. When science goes to this, are we going to find our biology?
Science is not going.
They're not.
Science is not part of the Common Core. So the only two that are part of the Common Core are language arts and mathematics. How they're handling the other subjects, the social studies and technology as well as sciences, is the ability and adaptation of the writing and the language arts skills. So there's actually, as well as some math skills, there will be some math skills within the math core that will specifically say this will be taught in this science class.
Well, my concern was, again, our licensure of our teach, you know, what because if you're a biology teacher and you have to teach a chem, you know,
no.
This is not how they're doing that with science.
Jim?
Implications for the elementary school?
We have 2.5 years to implement the full core. We are starting those discussions this year. There will not be an implementation of mathematics next year. That will be for the 2011-2012 school, no, 2012-2013 school year. We will, however, be starting with workshops and getting them so that they're up to speed. The reality is that if a teacher has not taken and successfully completed Math 1050 at the university level, they will be swimming to try to teach the mathematics that will be expected of them in the elementary level. And many of our teachers that graduated before, I believe it's 1990, I think was the year that they made that as a requirement for all students going through the university. They had to have 1050 as a minimum. So many of our veteran teachers have not had that experience. So we will have to shore up them through different opportunities. One will be to get a new elementary math endorsement program that they can go into. We also want to give them spot training so that they can, those that are having more challenges, we can get them working up. Because the bottom line is, we do not want them to feel that they do not have sufficient training to be able to implement it in their classroom.
Okay, so we need to make a motion if there's no further comment.
I would move approval of the new course offerings at Logan High School for the next school year.
Okay, motion made by Ann Geary. Second, do we have one?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Christy Cooley. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
It's unanimous. Approved. So we'll move on that one. The next item action item is on federal education job funds, the EduJobs. Marshall, do you want to discuss
that? Right. On page 57, I've given you somewhat of a synopsis. I'll quickly go over that. The amount that will be designated for the Logan City School District is $1,042,426. When the legislature met in November, the third week in November, they voted to follow the federal rules, which required all the money to come to the district. So that they did. However, in that same motion, they stated that they would then withhold an amount of money in the amount of $524,000 in change. $524,816 from the minimum school program over the rest of the year to make up for fiscal year 10 deficit that they had. So they do pay in one, but they expect you to pay out of the other. The challenge we do not know, and this is a big challenge, as they start developing their fiscal year 12 budgets, we do not know if the legislature will take the base which they commit to us as the original amount that they gave us in for fiscal year 11, or the reduced amount that they now will be giving us for fiscal year 11. For us, that 520, it means the potential of being an additional $524,000 in the red that we will need to make up for, that is, will be paid for by one-time money, but it will be gone for fiscal year 12. We are required by federal statute as well as state requirements to have a plan approved by the Board of Education. The plan that is in front of you for EduJobs is that we have gone to each of the three individual associations and have worked with them on their portion of the money. The portions of the money were based upon the salaries, the total amount of salaries paid out of the entire budget. That is approximately, is not quite 80% for our licensed employees, approximately 6% for our administrative, and 14% for, a little over 14, almost 15% for our classified. We have taken that to the $517,000 that is left and have talked with each individual group. We will be talking about the Logan Education Association's recommendations that we have in terms of our negotiations with them on the next item. We are currently working with the other two associations as to how they are looking at expending. Right now, in talking with Cheryl this afternoon, they anticipate that theirs will be a process that will be a payout similar to what we will discuss in number four. But the plan that is in front of you for approval is that we are giving the associations the opportunity to determine what to do with the funds. The deadline for expenditure of those funds is September 30th of 2012.
How should we state that motion, Marshall, so that we'd have an accurate statement?
If you look at the recommendation line, I think that making that into a motion is would be...
It's already there. Okay.
Any questions?
I was under the impression that the EduJobs money couldn't be used for administration.
Administration in the building level, it could. It cannot be used for district level administration in 2300 or 2500 object codes or function codes.
So what about our...
We have stated that anyone in those areas, and this was up front with all associations, that everyone within an organization will be treated consistently. They will have to come out of other funds in order for that to occur. Once we have approved each of the three groups for that, that means for the administrators, 12 out of the 15 can come out of EduJobs. The other three, whatever their plan is, would have to come out of other funds.
So what we're saying is, if you're a secretary at the district office, you would not be included. But if you're a secretary at the high
building,
school, you would
at a
be
building level, as long as they're function code was not 2300 or 2500, they are eligible for it. If they're in those two areas by our budget, then we would have to find other funds. And there are secretaries in this building that aren't under those two function codes. Yes.
Are there secretaries who are not
yes.
in this building?
Because they're under Title I.
They would be. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My concern is if next year, the legislature gets done in March, and they say, well, we're going to fund you
$524,000 less.
Right, less. And we've paid it out.
We have to go to something else to find either find the money or reduce the expenses. So it is a gamble.
As we start our negotiations for next year, the only way I can feel good about approving this is if we're able to put something in our negotiations. If the state robs the EduJobs, that the associations need to be aware that that money will need to be found in some way.
I think I've been open with all three groups of that this is a gamble.
And you understand my concerns, right?
It's a gamble the entire state is taking at this point.
Okay,
and we don't know what they're going to do.
That's my concern.
It's a big concern, too, no question.
Our legislature has a tendency to do strange things that we know. You know how to make up
made up strange
without
people.
Letting us know, so it's all done.
That was a nice way to put it.
Blindside.
That was. But I should really support this, but it's scary.
It is.
Scary times.
Do you want to
is there a way
anything
to
like that in the motion?
The
or?
Pardon?
Will they let us have all the money in our own bank? Can we just take it all? We just want all this.
Well, in some respects, we had hoped that the legislature would have refused the money because at that point, the federal government would have sent us the check to the district.
That's what we wanted
to have happen. Yeah, that would have been nice.
Been okay.
We're not the only state. Utah's not the only state that has done this. This was a way.
They gave us all of it. They just withheld. They did a mid-year cut.
Well, they haven't announced that officially yet.
No.
But we have it on good source that's what they plan to do during the legislative session.
That's the intent behind their motions in November.
But it seems contrary to the actual intent of the EduJobs money is to get the money into the hands of our teachers, not into the hands of our legislature. Otherwise, it would be called the EduLators job fund law allocation.
Their point is otherwise.
That's a very, very good point.
We would have to cut because they cut. Is their rationale?
Well, board, then, do we go ahead and take the gamble as Marshall has presented, or do you want to alter that a little bit? What's your pleasure? It's up to us, I guess, to make that decision. Do you want to reword that a little bit?
Well, I feel much better doing it with the leadership of those associations here, knowing that we could be in a world of hurt in a year if they say, oh, and we're going to do the same thing, and sorry if you've already spent it. You know, you have a cut. I hope what we've been through this year with discussions, that we're going to be able to open up and talk and share and realize that when money is gone, when we have a deficit to make up, we got to work together to figure out the best way to do that, whether that's in health care funds or riffing, which I don't like to do, or whatever it is. If that money doesn't come, we have to work together to make up the shortfall.
You're going to have to figure out a way to do it.
And so if we can all work together as a group, I'll go ahead. I'll make the motion with expressing my concerns.
And you guys are here listening to us, so I think everything's on the table. All right. Motion made by Ann Geary.
I will second the motion with the same concerns.
All right. Seconded by Lynn Hobbs. All in favor?
Are we all in favor with the same concerns?
Yeah, all in favor.
Okay,
with the
all
same
in favor.
And I think that maybe should be in the motion. We'll add it.
Great.
As far as that goes, we need to be able to express that there is a distinct possibility that we might get snookered.
Ding.
You know, I like the word snookered. Put that in. Anyway.
That's not what I said, though.
But that's about what's going to
happen. Blindsided.
All right, blindsided. However, that's about the same as snookered, though. Anyway, unanimous vote on that.
We haven't voted.
We didn't vote.
We didn't vote yet.
You didn't vote? Okay. All in favor? Motion's on the table. It's been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We've done it. All right. Marshall, let's move to item 4 and ratification of our contract.
As stated by Rayanne, the Logan Education Association has ratified the agreement that was reached with the federal mediator. It was a good process. It was a two-day. We basically spent a day and a half in the process, and with that, as Rayanne said, as we have asked the mediator to come back and train all of us in interest-based bargaining, and we will invite the Classified Association as well as the Administrators Association to be part of that. It's a process that will allow us to have a very good set of rules and a process for us then to follow as we are getting into in the negotiation process. It's been a lot of success. I've seen it in other areas, and I'm excited for the opportunity. But it is an expectation that all parties have to be involved. You just can't have one part and not the other, so it needs to be both. And we're going to be involving new people, association, in terms of they've asked for a different group, perhaps, or an additional amount of people to be able to be trained so that, again, we have more people understanding the process. It allows for us to have even richer experiences. The association financially, the agreement in front of you is that out of the EduJobs funds, each licensed employee would receive a $1,000 one-time stipend. That is the financial agreement, and again is out of EduJobs, and that would be paid for specifically. The request is that be paid in January. The other portion of the agreement was that we would agree to discuss steps and lanes for next year's negotiation, and then also that we would have a recognition of years of service. There's been a process. People who look at their placement on the salary schedule as the same thing as their years of service, and that's not always the case. And part of the negotiated agreement actually talks about years of service, and so we just wanted to make sure there was a clarification that in those parts of the negotiated agreement that talk about years of service, that it specifically is based upon that number, which is not necessarily the same as the on the salary schedule. There are four article changes of language that had previously, five article changes of language that had previously been agreed to, but had, again, as part of the negotiation process, are not finalized until everything is sealed. And those have been signed off. You have copies of those. And at this time, again, our appreciation to the association for working with us. We do have a good relationship. We've learned a lot over the process and will allow us to be stronger in our communications this next year. Any questions that you might have on the agreement?
Any questions or comments? The board.
I couldn't see, and I probably just misplaced it, or maybe, I'm not sure, what happened with the tenured teachers who are taking steps 20 and 25.
That is not part of this. That is not part of this agreement.
Okay.
We are paying for lanes.
Okay, so lanes only.
That is correct.
Okay.
That's for this particular negotiated agreement.
You will also notice that we are continuing to pay for the insurance premiums.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that include? Oh, never mind. Never mind. I answered my question.
Any further discussion on this one? Does someone care to make a motion? Their motion would be to ratify a negotiations package with the Logan Education Association as described.
So I would so move.
I'll so second.
Okay, motion made by Lynn Hobbs, seconded by Jim Blair. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. We can move on, move ahead. And let's work together. It's a great district. It's a great place to work. Let's see what we can do to make it continue to improve.
get it done before December next year.
Yep.
Yay!
Yes.
Let's do it.
Before school is out.
Marshall.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yay!
Yeah. Just one of the changes in the negotiated agreement, I just refer you to page 69. And this is just a heads up, because this is a bit of a change, and it has to do with the extra teaching responsibilities. You want to read that paragraph, because it basically is
on page 69 at the end, 551.
Forward.
This is what was negotiated. They actually started the negotiation process in January for the writing of this, and was finalized. It is a change of how of practice of what we do for our extra responsibilities.
Because it will have to come to the.
So the things have to be proposed to the superintendent, and then before they're approved and before they're paid, you guys have to approve the proposals.
So we know what's going on.
Exactly.
So we'll have a listing similar to the fee schedule, basically, of saying this program, this is what they'll do, this program, this is how they'll be paid, and we'll have that prepared a year in advance, and that will be an ongoing process so that you'll always know where they are, and hopefully we'll have it so that we have the, so that no one is blindsided at the end thinking that they were being paid one way and all of a sudden it comes out in a different manner.
Okay.
Did I say that okay? I think that was the intent.
All right with that.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's move on to discussion items. Marshall will talk with us a little bit about the Utah High School's Athletic Association.
Very quickly, on page 88 and 89, I've given you, with the Anthony Hall not running again in Cash District, there will be an opening on the UHSAA board that we will be voting on. You will be voting on. We have the vote in our USBA meetings in January. I know that that's been a rotation. Lynn, you were that for
rotation
between districts?
It's just
whoever's been interested.
Well, what you do is you go down there and nominations are made at the time. Each district goes to a separate room and nominations are then given.
Right.
I know the last time when we went to 3A, and when we changed, those that wanted it actually get up and they present why they ought to be. There can be whoever wants to run for it, and then you actually have a vote to vote who you want to do that.
Have any of you thought of, or are you interested in this? The superintendents were kind of talking and trying to find out from their boards what direction, so that we would know what will be happening at that meeting and how many people will be on the ballot potentially.
Utah High School Activities Association was the Lynn Rand meeting.
I was on that for 8 years.
Except that Anthony Hall. Utah High School Activities Association assigns one of their board members to
come in. They will,
and
they'll do right.
And you train.
And when we did it before, when Lynn decided he wanted to go, we were in the same region with some Weber County schools.
Correct.
We talked with the Weber County schools and pointed out to them that they already had a representative.
Right.
We talked with Cash, and they said
they didn't want any. They didn't have anybody.
They didn't have anybody. Right. So we and Lynn.
So it's really and Box Elder has. They're in two different regions, so.
And so you talk about which one.
And the same with Weber.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, it's coming down to again Cash and ourselves, and so if you have interest in that, if you would let me know, and then I can work with Steve just to so we know who is interested in whatever help and assistance I can give you for that process.
The one thing that I can tell you, you basically have about a quarterly meeting where you're there for the whole day. Then if
12 hours. One meeting goes for 12 hours.
No, not quite 12.
It's 8.
It's a good 8-hour day.
Count me out.
The one thing that can be is when appeals are made and everything, and you have to go down. You have a set rotation when you have to be down there, and they come up periodically to sit and listen to any appeals, any problems that they're having, and so that can take a fair amount of time.
With the changes to a two-year rotation,
it's going
to
be a lot.
The nature of this board is going to be much different than it has been in the past.
I agree.
The other thing that is, there are at least two bills, if not more, to abolish the High School Activities Association on the legislative docket right now. And so there's a lot of this. It's going to be a very interesting year, and if you're on the board, it will not be dull this year being on the board.
If I had more time, I would do it.
You have a few things on your plate.
I think I...
What day of the week do they meet? Do you know?
They met when I was... Of course, it could be changed.
Yeah, that's what I'm just wondering.
It was usually a Wednesday or a Thursday was typically when we met.
I feel it's important for us to have a voice in it. I really do. And, you know, I think we've worked well with Cash trying to get the vote between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty, you know, there's been discussion that way. My husband would probably not be happy, but if we want to have a representative, I would be willing to run for that position.
Should we, and before you do that, should we check with Cash first and see if there's anyone interested?
I think we should tell Cash.
You know that it's actually when you get there that whoever wants to can put their name up.
Right,
so
it is
not a cut and dry.
No, even in this pre-discussion, it's nothing is cut and dry.
But
at least it allows us to have some dialogue
about it.
Yeah.
Beforehand, right.
Rather than like some of our USDA elections where we say, "Well, whose turn is it? Does anybody want to do it for a mayor? Do you know?" So we'll do it. You know, I think it's a good thing to talk about and also look at what the time commitment is, because a lot of people, once they learn what the time commitment is, I think the major reason I would want, you know, I love athletics, but the other reason is because I think it's going to be closely tied with legislation, and I am our region's legislative committee rep. So that's just...
Okay.
Dave may not be happy.
All right, thank you.
As long as I can take an ice pack with me.
We would need to take, someone needs to go in there for our vote. And if Ann is running, she shouldn't be voting.
Correct.
I would be happy to go into that and represent our board.
My understanding is can everyone go in, but only one person can vote?
Okay. You only have one vote.
Okay.
And you know, and sometimes we've listened to everybody and you think, wow, so-and-so put their name in, but I really think that person, we should have that person because of this, 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 and this. That's who we want to be our representative. And often when we've been in there, I'm the one who nominated Lynn, so I remember the process. And it was a good process. And when Lynn went off, we all felt pretty strongly about who should be going on because they needed the representation.
Well, the problem that when I went off was I was a 4A representative, and the 3A represent was Schaefer,
wasn't it?
No, it was Schaefer from Bear River.
Okay.
Was on the board, and he had been serving for a period of time. So rather than run against him, we felt being the Logan was the one that the new one on the board, that someone that had been on 3A
should be
for a period of time ought to stay. So that's when I did not run again.
Okay.
That's how that.
And that's the kind of it's really very a good process. It really is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on.
Great.
It's Friday at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Always at the end.
Yeah.
Friday at 4:30.
And we'll get up and announce.
I don't want region. We're in.
Region 5.
Region 5.
Oh.
Okay. So we'll move in that direction then with USBA.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I understand what you're saying then, and Dan will
move
on.
I'll break my heart if I'm not it, but I'm willing to put my name in.
So we'll see what happens at USBA. All right, there is no action on that one. It's a discussion item. Let's move then to our reports. I'll reverse that just a little bit. Zane, since you're down at the end of the position down there, let's let you start.
Okay. You've got attached the board financial report for the month of November. Unless you have specific questions, I didn't have any anomalies to bring to your attention this time. You will notice there was a big hit to debt service, but that's consistent with last year. Mm-hmm. This year, I mean, we have a big interest payment due in November on our municipal building authority bonds that we used to remodel Woodruff. Other than that, I would just mention, maybe Fred, you were going to, that we basically signed the documents today on the easement there on 10th West on the Woodruff property. We did get them to agree to the following language, which I think was of concern. Where was it? I was going to just quote it to you.
They modified.
There was concern regarding the storm drain, and basically this is the language that was added. It says the grantor will have no costs associated with the storm drain. The project will pay all costs associated with any relocation or adjustments to the storm drain. So aside from that, what they ended up paying us was $21,900, $14,744 of which would be used to repair curb and gutter and sprinkler systems and replace trees and asphalt and topsoil if we need to. So most of that $21,900 was because it's anticipated. We will have to make some improvements. They paid us to do that and then agreed to accept any expenses that might be involved with relocating the storm drain. So I feel like we got what you needed to on that. And so those documents have been signed, and that's a done deal.
Yeah, those were the board recommended those, that we include those, so they were in there. I was there with Zane and signed those, that agreement. Okay?
That's all I had.
All right, thanks, Zane. I might mention, appreciate all that Zane's done. That was to help us get through all this. It's great. Ann Marshall, thank you very much. Ann, you have something to report?
Yes, since our last meeting, I've been on the Educational Adequacy Committee with the Facilities Group, and we met on the 2nd and 3rd of December, one day in this room, one day in a room at Mount Logan Middle School that had a light that squeals. Nobody else could hear it. Doug Beach and I could. Nobody else could. I finally had to have them turn off the lights because my ears hurt so badly. I thought Jim would appreciate how it hurt my ears. But anyway, we came up with the definitions for the elementary. What is an adequate? You saw some pictures up there. What is an adequate elementary classroom? What gets an A? What gets a B? What gets C or D? And you know what I had a little bit of a hard time with is an A is not necessarily what we put in our most recent classroom. An A is a classroom that's large enough, and on the elementary level, it's large enough so that they can move and do. On the secondary, it's frankly as large because we have larger students and more kids in the classroom usually. So it was interesting to decide what we felt was necessary and what was an ideal classroom. You know, how much space that a teacher can teach from or post things on the wall. And it was quite a fascinating discussion. And it was a small group, but then, you know, that will come up with a grading and then it will go out. And you know me, I like to run a fast meeting, and they wanted us to talk and to visit and to where I would have run it a little faster, but I think we were able, because of the way it was run, we were able to bring up some points and have some good things happen. I also went to the Bridger celebration at Hamilton's that was there to celebrate them being named the closing the achievement gap and also as a top Title I school. And Marshall and Dave did ask me to say something, and you know, it's my neighborhood, and I got all emotional when I talked to the teachers and the staff and how hard they have worked with what is a challenging area because of how transient it is and just what happens and how pleased we are to have a neighborhood school in our neighborhood. And it was a great celebration for them. They appreciated it. I'm on the ESL committee meeting. I appreciate that Lynn went to it for me previously. We met last Tuesday, and that committee's really doing some interesting analysis of what are we doing and what should we be doing. There are at least three educators from Utah State University, and they had their best practices and are looking at it. And it's interesting how many of the best practices that our district is either doing or has done previously. And we decided to divide up into committees. There's now a high school, a middle school, and an elementary, basically to assess what are we doing, and so that it's really accurate of what is happening, and also what to come up with that portion of the plan, because we're rewriting our ESL plan. And we had our people from USU wanting to be on each of the committees. And Robin was a master at running the committee, and she let them each know that she would love to have them as part of the writing committee if the caveat is they must visit our school and see what we are doing and how services are currently being delivered, so that they can act, you know, to just say, well, you should be doing this, this, and this. One was advocating something that's done at North Cache that has 6% minority doing services for 6% of the population, where the population that we are serving is much greater. And so I think that was a really good thing to ask the researchers to do, and they are going to be doing some research on it. And so it's a good committee, but it's really interesting as you get all the dynamics going on that. And one comment that came up that was really good, someone from an elementary school said, well, all of my kids do this or this. And the discussion was, you know, we can't ever say all, because we have the USU researchers were talking about Spanish speakers, not realizing what divergent groups of kids we have in our ESL programs, but also that you can't just class, you know, we can't ever say all. We have to look at individuals and individual schools. So some really good things have come out of that. Tomorrow is the Ellis celebration at 2:30 at Ellis School.
2:45.
Okay. And
I have
been up at Hillcrest because I have a special little child up at Hillcrest, and on Thursday they're doing their big Christmas programs, and then there's a Reader's Theater on Friday that my little one is participating in. And I've been to some of the other activity at Wilson. I went to their night where they were able to come and basically get their clothing, and that was just a special, special night. Our schools are doing amazing things, and the love that is there for all our kids is just amazing. Yeah. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ann. Jim?
I was on the same committee with Ann. I attended one day Friday. It was a good day. We talked a lot about acoustics that day, so it turned out
you saw me with mine.
I was glad to see Ann suffer. I mean, dealing with Ann's problem was good.
I had a problem.
Also, I'm on the governing board for Edith Bowen School. We went to that last week. That was an interesting. They're debating PTA versus
PTO.
And Marshall had some strong feelings about that and expressed his view, I think, very clearly that PTA's a good program and challenged some of their views. So I thought that was good.
They will be coming to our meetings, because if that has to be a change in the charter, and we must, as this board, as the chartering agent, must make any approvals to that. So they will be coming to us with some data. We're finding out is exactly what are the consequences if this board says no, and we've got. I'm working with State Office of Education right now on that, and the PTA.
If we get done before 8 o'clock, I'd like to encourage this board to, on your way home, stop at the Blair House and see the train.
Okay.
Tonight would be a good night to do that. And just take 15 minutes to go up, and the village is running, the trains are going, and it would be a good opportunity for us to do that. So
you're a train man, huh?
And then we can schedule other opportunities.
I'm a village man. I don't know if I'm a train man. So if you want to try that, that would be great. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Christy?
Went to my USBA meeting last week and thankfully made it home after some serious car problems, but I did get here. Just a couple dates I want you to be aware of. January 28th, of course we know the USBA our USBA meetings on the 6th and the 7th, or the 7th and 8th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Once again, Fred will be singing that night, Thursday night, so make sure that we're all there for that.
Why did you have to mention
and,
that?
Because I'm excited. You're even in the program. And we have Rick DeFore coming that evening, so I think it's going to be a very good conference. And then Michael Ballen will be singing on Friday night for our entertainment. And we also have another speaker coming. I can't remember his name, but I think it will be a very good opportunity for us to learn and to understand new things going on in this state. Day on the Hill is on January 28th. One of our legislators that will be speaking is Lyle, and after we had our luncheon with him a couple weeks ago, I really feel like that we as board members over the area that he represents really should be able to pull his ear and try to get some more money into education, and that he'll be speaking to Day on the Hill. And I'm hoping that we can talk with him in advance so that he can meet with us after Day on the Hill, so that we can, you know, have that time to visit with him there.
What time do you have to be there?
I believe Day on the Hill starts at 8, 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
you should be getting your save.
And then we have our regular legislative meeting afterwards.
You should have your save the date card coming in the mail any day now from Patty, so make sure you watch that. I don't know for sure what time it starts, but after the lunch, and then there's an afternoon program, then they give us a couple hours to meet with our local legislators. So, the next thing is the board president and vice president workshop for our new board president and vice president will be held on February 26th. Which is a Saturday at the USBA office that goes, I think, from 8:30 till about 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So that needs to be put on the calendar as well. And I think that's all I have coming up for USBA. We did have quite an interesting discussion on the state superintendent's thought to grade schools that day. So we had, it was an interesting discussion, so I'm looking forward to the legislation that's coming down, and hopefully we'll be able to be proactive and certainly mindful of what's happening. I'm excited tomorrow. I'm going with the peace ambassadors from the middle school to primary children's to deliver some toys they purchased for the hospital, so that will be exciting, and I've just really enjoyed participating in the Christmas programs and have a few more to go to this week, and went to Bridger this afternoon, and their special needs kids performed a chime number, and it just was amazing. They did such a good job, and our great things are happening in the school, and it was just fun to be there. So I can't think of anything else.
Thank you, Christy. Lynn?
Yeah, Lieutenant, fast forward meeting. Things are going pretty well. They haven't had a lot. Their budget's fairly well in line. They're feeling good about that. The school's being run really well this year. Very few problems, and just overall they're Steph's feeling really good about what's going on out there this year. So I think everything else was fine there with that. Have enjoyed the committee. We're talking about South Campus and those other individuals that we have a concern about, the ninth graders and stuff. And it's been a good committee. I've enjoyed the Things are going well. I feel like I think a proposal will soon come.
Yeah. The intent on that, it will be to our work session in February, mm-hmm. and then a vote on it at the end of February, and we'll spend the month of January. It's actually due to my office the first part of January, so that we can work on it and then have it ready for the presentation in February.
I think ESL's trying to do the same schedule.
Okay, thanks, Lynn. I'll be there tomorrow morning at 7:20 with Marshall, the MHTN presentation in the media center. That's still on?
For their MHTN is coming into this, the first visit to the school to let them know about what is going to be happening in the schools and meeting initially with the staffs. And we'll get out the full schedule. That afternoon at 3:15, they'll do the middle school.
Yeah.
They will not start the actual assessments until January, but it's that first week we get back, and there wasn't enough time, so that's why we're doing it now.
So I'll go there and represent the board with Marshall, unless someone else wants to, too. That's
What's
fine.
That?
It's to in the media center. It's not necessarily something you have to be to, but we are more than welcome to be there.
At which school?
At Logan High School.
Logan High School.
I'll be there at 7:20 in the morning. I'll go also to the Ellis Celebration Luncheon. That's 2:45. And then I got the Mount Logan Middle School Band Concert. I have some grandchildren involved with that tomorrow night.
And did we ever find, it's been a floating time. Did they ever finalize the actual time it's starting? Because it was in conflict with the Logan High School Orchestra Concert.
Elsa told me that. I can't remember, what was it at, 6:30?
At one time it was 6:30.
Is it? Pretty sure they moved it up to 6.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
It's the
middle school.
Middle school.
Is it 6 instead of
band concert?
Seven.
It was starting at 7. It's now at 6.
Because the high school orchestra concert.
Well, because the elementary start at 6 at the high school, how they do it. For the orchestra, they will do a 6:00 and a 6:45, and then 7:30 is the main orchestra concert at Logan High.
So Logan High, if you want to hear orchestra, you can go at 6:45, or 7:30.
6:00 will be the three elementaries. Then there'll be three elementaries at 6:45, and I do not know which three are in which group.
And 7:30 is
the regular
high school.
Orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Tonight started at 7:30 was the Mount.
Band.
It was the band concert at the high school.
Last night was
choir.
Choir.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, I've attended some things at the Adams School, and I continue to volunteer there. Another thing that I received in the mail, and perhaps we need to tell Stacy or you want to. That's the Zions Bank. USBA luncheon.
We have already.
We're going to participate with that.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to mention that. And then this what counts in education. Not sure.
That's the whole convention.
That's the whole convention.
That is the whole convention.
Yeah.
All right. I was trying. You'd know more about that,
yeah.
Than Christy. So.
And I will get to go to lunch that day.
Okay.
Well,
you
with us? Wow.
We were so glad.
Cool idea.
I know. It's not a novel. I suggested that. So we're meeting the day before.
Okay. That's all I have. And a lot of things going on right now. Marshall, do you want to?
Just again, on USBA, I will be down there for my meetings on Thursday. Plan on those of you that are going to be able to come Thursday evening for the presentation. We will have dinner beforehand. We'll be meeting at 5:00.
5:00?
5:00 for dinner.
That's what I need to know. I don't know if I dare eat or not.
Because of the holidays, January 10th will be our next board work session. We will be starting, though, that'll be a school visit that day. It is a Monday. At 2:00 at Wilson, we'll go from 2:00 till 3:00, and then we'll start back here at 3:30 for the work session time. And at that point, Tammy Pfeiffer has asked, as a member of the State School Board, to come and talk to us about the discussion that is going on in terms of the grading of schools and some of the other issues that they're dealing with, as well as their legislative plan. So we will have just been at USBA, and we'll be able to have a good discussion with her. Building assessments will have begun. They started with this building today. They will also be working at Riverside Preschool on Thursday, and tomorrow they'll be doing the shop buildings. They will then start with regular schools on the 4th of January, and they do 3 a week from that point until February. Mm-hmm. And we'll get you the full schedule on that. I think you have the final schedule, is that correct? On the building? Yes. Right. We had a few schools switch on what days that their faculties, but every faculty will have, and staff will have an opportunity to meet with the architects initially on some of their initial discussions, again, to start that relationship building as we go through this process. It'll become heavier as we get into the master planning process. With that, we hope you have a wonderful holiday, and it's enjoyable for you. Friday is our last day, school's full day, and we will be then out for the 2 weeks.
One more thing. I put on your desk the little article with Cache School District, something that I suggest maybe we look at and consider. At a smaller scale, obviously, I talked to Steve Norton today, and he said they anticipate, well, Dale Hansen as well, their business administrator, they anticipate between $30,000 and $40,000 savings with the administration of the schools and the district substituting 5 days. That's considerable savings. Obviously, we'd not, wouldn't achieve that kind of savings. But I did do some, as a board member, when Richard Jensen was here, I substituted in Dave Anderson's class, technology class, and I told him I don't want to be reimbursed for this. I want to save some money. And so on my stub, and it came out, they paid me. So I quit. I says, if that's what you're going to do, I'm not going to continue it. I don't want to get paid for it. It misses the whole point. So anyway, that I'd like to see us at least discuss that and see what we might be able to do as a district and on a smaller scale, perhaps, and modify it. So it's a thought. You guys can think about it.
You know, my biggest concern with that is we've got our district office staff so lean right now that I don't know.
I understand
how they'd ever be gone from what they're.
Well, that's why I say. That's why I'm saying. Let's maybe it's something we can look at and see. With that, we will adjourn at 7:40.
Before 8 o'clock.
Before 8 o'clock.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And then I may.